This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And we are excited.
We are.
We've got a special guest coming up.
We do.
Who is it? Sheikh Abdulrahman Ibn Yusuf Manjira. It's a British Muslim scholar. He's educated in both Islamic and Western traditions. And he has the unique experience of serving as an imam in Muslim communities on both sides of the Atlantic, 8 years in Southern California, and over 5 in the great city of London, which is really okay.
That really is. In this great city where we are. Right now, this evening, of course, we'll be talking to Mufti Manjira about his new book called The Handbook of a Healthy Muslim Marriage, which is an indispensable marriage guide. Now, with a wealth of experience and a warm, sympathetic tone, the author, Sheikh Abdulrahman Ibn Yusuf Manjira, brings the insight of a scholar with thousands of hours of spiritual and marital counselling practice and Islamic erudition to this crucial subject. Topics range from how to find a partner and deal with in-laws to developing spousal intimacy and the unfortunate divorce, if that does occur.
That first point is what people want. How to find a partner.
In a halal way, of course. Please welcome to the show. Sheikh Manjira.
Assalamu
alaikum, Sheikh. How are you?
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. How are you guys doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah. Nice to see you guys so excited.
We are. This is an important topic.
Yes.
We want to keep things halal when finding a partner. Now, listen, what inspired you to put this together? Because there's so many people out there that are giving tips, advice on the topic of marriage, right? What differentiates your book?
I guess, look, you have to be qualified to write a book, and I don't know if I'm qualified, but what justified or what kind of prompted me to do it was that I've been married over 25 years.
MashaAllah.
About over 20 years when I wrote the book. It was a few years ago. And I'd been dealing with people's issues or marriage-related issues for over 20 years. And I was like, okay, I need to write something now because you're having to say very, very similar things all over again to each person that you speak to. So I thought, let me put it down. So it's more of an anecdotal book.
Right.
Yes, it's got some fiqh and jurisprudence and rulings in there, but most of it is anecdotal. Mm. I actually did not read any other book on marriage before I wrote this one.
Right.
It was purely from experience and then my own research. Right. You know, into the hadith and so on.
So I imagine a lot of people, as a scholar, probably come to you as well from an advisory perspective, right? Would that have input into
absolutely? You have to be a counselor, whether you like it or not. Yes. As a scholar, as an imam, and so on, you have to be a counselor. Mm. So, alhamdulillah, I mean, people have found it practical, and it's done its job, I think, in the sense that I don't have to explain everything each time. The nitty-gritty of things, people are using it in that sense.
No, alhamdulillah. And you know, I remember years ago, I make myself really sound really old, but even in as early as the 80s and 90s, shall we say, when we were talking about things about relationships, things about divorce, I remember as a Muslim saying this wasn't a Muslim issue. In fact, I used to say this isn't a sub-Asian or an Asian issue it's a very English thing that the English have lost the importance of a family. Yeah. And remember in the 80s, everyone was seeing, remember Prince Charles and Diana divorce, that was a huge thing at the time. And I wanted you to think this was never an issue that would affect our community, yet the reality is it is. And it's becoming more and more profound in our community now. And really, it's something that hits all of us at some point.
You see, what makes this worse is that it's happening, it's a reality, but people don't know how to do it, how to do a proper divorce. If people knew how to do a proper divorce, they'd actually do it in a way that's safe and you've got a way back. But people are, they've got these cultural issues where divorce has to be 3 times, they say, which is absolutely wrong.
Right.
That's actually a point of no return.
Right.
And they don't understand that divorce can be done with one sitting in one instance. If people just knew that, it'd make life so much easier. So this book is about marriage, but one of the penultimate chapters is about divorce, because I think if you're going to get married, you better know how to do divorce, just in case you get to it, because a lot of people are getting to that.
True.
Right. That's why that's a very important chapter. In fact, when I do a nikah, when I solemnize a marriage, sometimes I would actually bring up the point of divorce in that. And some people are like, why are you talking about divorce when people are just getting married?
Yes.
And so on. I think the main reason there is in a marriage ceremony, you actually get a lot of people who hardly ever listen to lectures.
Mm.
Right. And I find that's the opportune time, in the nicest way possible, to speak about divorce.
Yeah.
Because divorce is a reality, unfortunately.
True.
Right.
Absolutely.
People do go through the lights sometimes.
Yes.
People do make mistakes. Now, it's just how to do it in a proper way.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I remember, I think, because I remember having first-hand experience within my family as well. And I remember when it happened with one of my relatives, the point I said to them, I said, look, it's, we always saw it as a bad thing. And you know, to say an Urdu phrase, lo kya kenge, what will society say that this marriage has ended? And I said, well, look, if you look at what Islam has prescribed, there's a whole surah and ayahs which talk about how to deal with this. And amongst the Prophet, the companions of the Prophet, we saw divorce, and it was brought as an example so that we could learn as Muslims how to deal with such a scenario.
And subhanAllah, the Sahaba used to do it quite, I mean, easily.
Yes.
Because if there is a breakdown, and there are unfortunately breakdowns, because life has become more complicated, personalities are a lot more sophisticated, and you know, you don't get what you expect sometimes. So yeah, there could be incompatibility.
Yes.
There's a way of divorce. Mm. And one of the most beautiful verses in the Quran, which I have to explain to people, is وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِنْ سَعَتِهِ which basically means that if they do separate, finally, if they have to separate, Allah will enrich each one of them through His vastness. Yeah. And I think that's what people need to then focus on, because what's going on is that people get depressed.
Yeah.
They in fact, some people refuse to divorce even though it's broken down for 3 years.
Oh, subhanAllah.
I'm like, are you waiting for a miracle? No, I don't want to do the wrong thing. You're not doing the wrong thing anymore. This is the right thing to do now, because the Quran says, don't leave them hanging. Let them go now. But subhanAllah, there's people who refuse to do this sometimes. Mm. There's a way to do it. Do it properly if it has to be done. I know we've gone on to divorce.
Yes.
But anyway.
No, of course, the key things we want to talk about, the celebration of a marriage and the unity as well, right?
Of course. Yeah. And I guess this is what you started off you know, if we understand divorce, then we can look out for things maybe in the marriage that maybe we can avoid or whatever.
Absolutely.
Sheikh, I've got the plastic version of the book. Yep. Can I have a look at this amazing version that I can maybe flick through? I mean, just look at this. It's just very comprehensive. Tell us, like, if you were to choose the most impactful chapter, you know, the hidden gem, which one would it be? I don't know.
There's just so much.
And you've got Quranic verses, I can see, too. So everything is of course, referenced.
Yeah, no, everything is referenced, and it was double referenced and made sure about that. But I think there's a few chapters. So for a lot of people, it depends. I mean, are you at the beginning? So you're looking for a partner? So I've actually got that section, which includes the philosophy of the whole thing, the approach to the whole thing. I've got actually 50 sample questions that you could ask to a prospective spouse.
Right.
Make
a note.
No. Don't go with 50 questions.
Okay.
You just want to select from there what are going to be relevant to you, because there's so many things you need to ask, I think. Yeah. It's very important. So that would be relevant for those starting off. Those who are having issues now, so I've got a chapter in there that discusses the main issues which problematize a marriage. Yes. So that's anger, in-laws. So I deal with each one of these. Right. How to deal with the in-law, that the husband is the most crucial point in here.
Social skills and communication.
Oh, yeah, social, that's another one. Yes. So the son-in-law, or the son, he's got to look after his parents and his wife. He's an act as a go-between. He can't swerve one way or the other. So we try to give a lot of practical tips of how he can play that, you know, arbitrator.
What's the biggest tip on that? Because as a son, as a son and a husband and a son-in-law, I find having those three women in your life.
Be as neutral and try to be reconciling as possible. So that you can't convey everything you hear.
Yes.
So you hear your mother saying something, you can't convey that everything to your wife, because that's going to upset her. Yeah. Right? You digest that and you deal with that. And then you also have to do what the Prophet ﷺ said, is that the liar is not the one who, who's a bit, you can say, generous with the truth.
Yes.
Uses elusive language in order to reconcile people. So sometimes he will have to say, okay, my mother said some really good things about you, because she must say something good.
Yeah.
Right? So you magnify those points,
right,
and you have to not become impacted, because it's easy to become impacted both sides.
True.
That's why
true.
You just have to play that arbitrator. It's a tough place to be, but Allah make it easy for you.
Absolutely.
And then there's a lot of marriages where the underlying issue, and this is hardly ever spoken about, is the intimacy issues. But it's very seldom brought up.
Right.
You hear a couple, they've got issues. You've got a couple and you've got issues. They've got issues. And you're speaking to them, and they're all superficial issues. And you're wondering, why is your marriage so messed up with these so small issues?
Yeah.
There's something deeper down. Finally, eventually comes out, there's intimacy issues. Right? So I've got a whole section on intimacy, because Muslims sometimes don't understand the importance of issues. Intimacy. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many of our past scholars have written about his hadith so explicit, you'd be surprised about what, I mean, I don't want to start speaking about these things right now, but it's a very important chapter to basically spice up your life for the right reason.
Right.
And a lot of marriages are on the rocks because of this now, especially in a hyper-sexualized world,
yes,
where there's so much going on outside, so many vices available and so easy. It needs to be done properly, right? And there's halal, there's a lot of halal that can be done. There's a lot of halal, and it should be.
No, absolutely.
Right, to save the marriage and to just make life better.
No, absolutely.
So, yeah, there you go. So,
not absolutely. And how significantly does communication feature in this? Because one of the problems, and again, just speaking from experience and from people I know, they always say to me, what do you talk about with your wife when you go out now? And I go, always the kids. And then you realise that after so many years, all you're doing is talking about children.
Yeah.
What happened to the, you know, when in the early days, oh, it was amazing. Everything had a silver lining. Whatever she said, it was like magic. But now, you know, just talk about children.
You know, somebody asked me a question. How, after being married for 7-10 years, does the love increase? Like, how do you define an increase in love? So I got to think about that, and I don't think the love increases. I think it just becomes more profound.
Right.
So there's always a love if you've got the right relationship, but I think over time, since you get to know each other much better, their likes and dislikes, so what will happen is eventually is that you will appreciate the other person more, your love will become deeper, more refined, more sophisticated, because you know your partner much better than before. That's what Allah says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And I've dealt with older people, like 20 years older than me, and mashallah, the love was amazing. I was like, how did you get that love?
Yeah.
So he says, look, there's no touching, there's no intimacy left now, but the love is amazing.
That's right? Powerful.
So love has to become more profound and powerful over time, right? That's how you do these things.
So I just want to ask, right, because when people are finding a partner, they always, you know, place categories on, you know, the looks is most important, or is it the deen? Can we just touch on this a little bit? Because I think this is very important. Yeah, I can see you did touch on it in the book at the start.
I've dealt with that quite a bit. So there's a misunderstanding. Some people think that when they read that hadith, which says that women are usually married for, for their family lineage, for their wealth, for their looks, and for their deen, make sure that you are successful with the deen. Does that mean exclusion of the others? No, not necessarily at all. If you get all four, you are very, very lucky. Just make sure that you get the deen at least, right?
Yeah.
However, what people have to do is that not focus on the others as exclusive points, that's all they're looking for. Because at the end of the day, a wife, or a husband for that matter, is not somebody you're going to bring in into your front room, put on a pedestal, and then just look at them all day. That's not what marriage is about.
I feel like sometimes people are trying to just tick boxes.
That's exactly what they're doing.
It's terrible. But do you think that comes from lack of experience?
Lack of experience, misunderstanding, media, because it's all about beauty, beauty, beauty. Have a trophy wife or a trophy husband.
Yeah.
And the thing is that that's not the point of marriage. Your point of marriage is to live together. This beautiful character must be there, otherwise your interaction is not going to be there. And I mean, you're not marrying somebody to look at them. They should be good enough that they do attract you, because there's a lot of false attraction outside. So you better have somebody that is attractive to you.
Yes.
Right? They don't have to be the best in the world. Doesn't have to be a trophy person,
but
they should be attracted to you. And that's very, very important as well.
And then, of course, the mahar. It's always a big topic. You cover this in here. Yeah. Just give us a bit of a glimpse, of course, without going into the level of detail.
So there's a lot of cultural issues to do with the dowry, right? And what we're suggesting, alhamdulillah, this has become a tradition in many cultures, is that they either go with Fatima radiallahu anha's mahar, dowry, or now we're pushing actually for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mahar, which was much more frequent. Fatima only got married once. There was that one mahar. There's a bit of difference of opinion about that. But right now, the mahar, or the dowry of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives, is around 900 to 1,000 pounds approximately, which is not bad, right? Which is not bad. I mean, it's a decent amount of pay. Some cultures have some really exorbitant. I've actually dealt with one culture where I was told to come in to do a nikah, and there's literally a negotiation that starts at a few hundred thousand, and then you have to bring it down. It's just a play.
Wow.
So they have to start at a few hundred thousand just to show a value, and then after that they bring it down to a more reasonable amount. And I said, look, I don't have time to spend to do that with you for the next 2 hours. I'm
going to
just propose. So I gave them a little pep talk, and I said, look, I'm going to suggest Fatima Adina's mahar.
Right.
And they thought for a while. Alhamdulillah, they managed to overcome their cultural pressures. And they said, you know what? We're going to go with that. And the groom, sight of relief.
Right.
Alhamdulillah. Right? Alhamdulillah. So you just need to make things easy so that marriage becomes easy.
Actually, and this is the key thing, right? It's about that ease, one for the couple, but also for the family. Now, it's an interesting point. I remember my wife made this point to me a few years after I married. She said all the circles and events that she attended, they placed a lot of emphasis on the rights of the wife.
Oh, yeah.
And she said what they kept telling me was, as someone who was looking to get married at the time, was that this isn't my responsibility. That, and she goes, like, your parents are not my responsibility.
Right, right.
But she goes, the one thing they never taught me was how to make it work with the in-laws.
Oh, subhanAllah.
I know that that was so profound because we did live in I remember in our early days, we lived with our parents. And it was interesting that everything that was being taught at a certain time to all the sisters was about, oh, it's not your responsibility. Yeah. But then at the same time, bless her, she herself saw that as,
alhamdulillah,
that doesn't work.
Yeah. The example I normally give for that, and in this book, there's actually no section on rights, exclusively on rights.
Right.
The rights are all mentioned throughout, as in the passing that this is a right. But it's not like, I don't want you to focus on rights, because the focus on rights is the fard, the integrals of prayer, is literally standing up, reading a verse, saying Allahu Akbar, reading any verse, going into a ruku, reading nothing, going into two sujood, and then doing that for two rakats, and that's it. What kind of prayer is that?
Yeah.
That's fulfilling the obligations and the rights. But what about the wajibs and the sunnah and all the rest of it? Is that the kind of marriage you want, where you're just focusing on rights? No. It's about empathy. It's about making it work with the other human being, right? To become this complementary couple as a whole for your children and for your progenies for the future. Rights, there's only a few rights, to be honest. Those will be a dry marriage if that's all you're focusing on. That's why when anybody even asks that question, I say, look, brother or sister, that is not what you want. I can give you the rights in 5 minutes, no problem.
Yes.
But really, it's much more than that. You need a love balance.
You're boxing your mindset into this.
You have to. Exactly. Yeah. It's not about just tick box. It's about everything. And that's why I talk about a very important point in there, which is you need to have a love bank balance. What is a love bank balance?
I like that.
It's an online account.
Yes.
Right? And if you don't have one, you better get one.
Lovely,
right?
Lovely
way. And we should never deplete in that, I would
You
imagine.
Should never deplete, and constant amount of deposit in there is what really works. So, for example, what love bank balance is, I mean, people are going to be wondering now, can I?
Yes, please.
What a love bank balance is essentially anything over and above the norm or every that's expected that you do. If I buy flowers for my wife, as long as it's not a norm, if I buy her the same flowers every Friday, she's going to get bored of them.
Yes.
Right? Because I'm just doing a ritual now.
Yeah.
But if I buy her new flowers and she likes them every week, that's adding to love bank balance. If I make her tea, and I do, but if I make her tea, right? Or if I do something, anything extra, that's going to be a donation or a contribution to love bank balance, which means tomorrow, if we have a little tiff, a misunderstanding, she's going to think, no, but yesterday he can't hate me, because shaitan comes in. Whenever you have a little issue, shaitan comes in and says, oh, he must hate you, or she must hate you, or she's got this issue or that issue, tries to magnify it.
Yeah.
If you have a love bank balance, oh, she did this for me yesterday, he did that for me yesterday and 2 days ago, he can't really hate me. That really helps to balance it out.
Yeah.
Now, you can't do once a month a big balance and then forget it for the rest. It's like saying that, you know, brushing my teeth every morning is such a chore. On Saturday or Sunday, let me do half an hour.
Right.
Of brushing my teeth, so I don't have to do. That's actually harmful, right?
That's true.
So you need to do bit and you need to do bits and bits every day, frequently. That's what really matters. That will really employ, really enhance your marriage.
This reminds me. I'm going to use this today.
Use it,
because you know I've added to my love bank balance today.
Alhamdulillah.
I took the wife out for lunch. I was actually working from home today, and I said to her, come on, she was there, I'm there. I said, let's go out for lunch.
Mashallah.
And it was just a spur of the moment.
It's true.
A spur of the moment.
Yeah.
Contributions like that are amazing.
And I think this reminds me of the honeymoon period, which you mentioned in this book. Yeah. We think that, you know, once that's gone, it's finished, right?
Yeah.
So the way you put it there with the love bank balance, I'm going to take it on board too.
Yes.
I will. Yeah. I will. So how do we get a hold of the book? Sorry, we've gone through this topic, that topic, that topic, just for the viewers to understand at home. It's very comprehensive, right? It can be overwhelming, right? So when they purchase the book, which, by the way, where can they buy it from?
Yeah, White Thread Press, or any good bookshop, but whitethreadpress.com online, whitethreadpress.com online. They can order it from there.
And should they read it in order? Because
okay, so
there's a lot of information.
If you're married, then there's no point probably starting from the beginning of how to find a partner, yes. because you've already done that.
Yeah, right? That was the hard bit, that's yeah. done.
You've already yeah. done that, alhamdulillah. So you start reading from the rest. What a lot of, now this book
but
is
don't
about
be
3 years.
On that chapter if they haven't found
I didn't do that.
Yeah, 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 no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to feel bad, just now make yeah. it work because there's a lot to make it work afterwards.
Of course,
right?
Of course.
So now what a lot of couples have done, the best way to do it, if you're already married, is to actually read it as a team. So you literally read right. it together, a bit by bit, and then you discuss it. You discuss the points in there. And I think that's what a lot of people have done, and that's the feedback I've gotten, that that's been the best course. Way for them to do it, fantastic. Right? Where they've sat down and they've done it together. Yes. The final chapter in there is a very important one. I actually end up with paradise. Now, do you know that in paradise,
yes.
paradise is nothing without a spouse. You're not going to be alone in paradise.
Yes.
Sorry to disappoint some people.
Oh, no, we're stuck with right? the same person?
Exactly.
No! So... I just. But, of course, I would be with my wife forever.
But they'll be the most wonderful people no, at that course, time, right? So Allah will make it right.
That's the dua people make, right? When yeah. people pass away, they want to be reunited. Yeah.
If you look in the Quran, if you look at all the descriptions of paradise yes. in the Quran, Hadith, they all speak about a spouse.
Yes.
Azwajihim.
Azwajihim. Are we talking Hurul Ayn here?
No, that's addition.
That's
yeah. Let's not get into that, right? We're talking about a worldly spouses will be together. You're not going to be with your father or your mother.
Yes. Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd be one happy family with Adam alayhi salam, right? True. You're going to be with your spouse. Yes, yes you'll meet one another, but you'll be with your spouse.
That's for you to read after.
That's my wife in paradise.
So that's paradise there. Yeah.
Inshallah.
That's
inshallah.
The last. I tried to end it on a good note.
No, that's yeah. very positive. Sheikh, Jazakallah khair. It was absolutely wonderful, and I'm sure... our viewers will benefit immensely from the book. I know I did just
so
from this session.
So will we.
I know. I think I will go and I'll remind my wife yeah. that she is stuck with me for the rest of her life.
Inshallah.
And hopefully, inshallah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Jannah.
Jannah.
Inshallah.
Jannatul Firdaus.
Inshallah.
Ameen. So, Handbook of a Healthy Muslim Marriage. That's the name of the book.
This is yeah. the key thing. The Healthy Muslim Marriage.
Sheikh, thank you yeah. for joining us. That was The Healthy Muslim Marriage for everyone watching at home. We're going to go on to a short break, but do join us when we are back, inshallah.
The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khair, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand, whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khair, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.